Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Luke Cobray.
Amen. Well, aren't you so grateful for our team members and our band? I'll tell you, they always lead us every week. Gifted, talented men and women who just get to use their talents and abilities for the kingdom of God. How cool is that? I got to tell you, this is the first time I've taught without that thing, the bump out. And you know me, if you've ever seen me preach, I always preach with my toes hanging over. So it's like, I feel like I'm 50 feet away, but I'm not going to go on the stairs. And here's why I'm not going to go on the stairs, because I'm also over there, TV people. I know that the lights are right here. So if I go down, no lights. So anyways, I'm going to stay right here. But if I seem a little awkward or whatever, I'm just going to tell you right up front, this is weird. So the steps, it's been so long. It's like a hazard. I don't know how you did this. Like, you might fall and tumble down those things. Pastor Jim did it for years. It's scary. Anyways, hey, I want to talk to you tonight about something that's been on my heart. It's kind of one of those alarming subjects. The subject I want to talk about is the subject of failure. It's not something fun to talk about. You know, if you know anything about us, Stacy and I, we're in the season of transition in our lives. God spoke something into our hearts and into this season of kind of branching out, looking for the next path, the next place for where God's going to put us. And so we've been out, and I've actually been out in the past 10 days, scoping different areas and looking at different places and potentially where we might launch a church and things like that. You know, what's funny is when you're doing that, everybody comes up and they ask you all these questions. And I remember it was the first week of January. It was the new year and we came to work and I was here at the church. And it was like every day of the first week of January, 7 days straight, I had a conversation or dinner or coffee with somebody. They stopped by or they said, hey man, Lord put upon my heart something I wanted to talk to you about. And the subject was failure. And it was kind of like, why do we keep talking about this? You know, like, is there something you know that I don't know yet? I mean, are you trying to tell me something? And, you know, when you're in these seasons of transitions, man, I tell you, everything just goes through your brain and you're trying to look into every cause and every purpose. It's like, why are they talking about failure and learning from failure? And anyways, long story short, you know, God's been working on my heart. And I've been actually reading through the Bible, and I just finished probably one of the harder sections of the Bible, and that was all of the prophets. So I started with the minor prophets because they're shorter. And, you know, sometimes you read through the Old Testament and you scratch your head and you say, what are they saying? So that's why I started with the minor prophets, because sometimes they're only two or three chapters. And so it's like, okay, I can do this. And then I went through the major prophets and then through the book of Daniel and through the Lamentations and all these different things. And it was amazing because a lot of these chapters and a lot of these books have to say the same story. They're kind of warnings to the people of Israel, the Hebrews who were following God at the time, or at the time really weren't following God, that there was something coming their way. And we look at hindsight and we know that happened with them, with the Babylonian captivity, in the season of captivity when Israel was conquered by King Nebuchadnezzar. All that to say, in reading through that, I started reading through the book of Job. When I finished the story of the prophets, I thought, you know what, I'm on this real dismal course of books, so why not continue that and get through Job as well, you know, and just kind of get it all out with one fell swoop. So I started reading through the book of Job, and if you know anything about the book of Job, it's a story of hardship. It's a story of trial, and I was reading this book of Job, and I was reading kind of his lamentations or his crying out to God. That's what that word is. If you look at that book in the Bible, lamentation, what does it mean to lament? It means to mourn, and he's crying out to God for all these hardships that he's been facing, and he was looking back at some of the things that he's done and things that he said, and kind of looking at the frailty of his life, and kind of made me look at the frailties of my life, and I started thinking back to this subject, and what is this all about? And I wanted to talk to you about moving beyond that, you know, moving beyond the subject of failure, moving beyond the moment. I was thinking back to a time when I played hockey. I was talking to my parents the other day, just last night, and we were talking about weird sports, you know, and like the lesser born statistical fact is that people who are born later in their families have more of an open door to risk for them. I think because they kind of had to fend for themselves, the youngest, they end up picking the more dangerous sports. And so for me, I chose extreme sports, and I chose hockey. In California, hockey. Like, what was I thinking? This is not the Midwest or Minnesota where the lakes freeze over, but I played hockey. And I remember one time back in the day, I was playing on this hockey team, and for about 3 years, we were all one tight-knit team. And we started out, nobody knew each other, but as we practiced together and as we played seasons together and as we got to know each other, we got into this really great flow, and we were doing so well. As a matter of fact, we were doing so well that we'd won the championship in our leagues, and it was really neat, it was really encouraging, it was really fun. So we started stepping out, and we started playing other teams and other organizations from different places. So we started traveling. So we played a game of ice hockey at the Anaheim Pond where the Ducks play, and we played a few games in the Citizens Business Bank Arena, and we were playing, we were doing really good. And we were doing so good that actually the Ontario Fire Department reached out to us, and they have a hockey team. It's kind of a tradition with fire departments to have hockey teams. And so they had a big tournament coming up where they were going to start playing big teams like Chicago Fire Department and the New York Fire Department. And these guys are like ex-NHL players that are now firemen or whatever like that. And so they were saying, we need to practice. And so we kind of scrimmaged them a little bit, and we practiced, and we were doing really good. So they said, okay, well, let's do this. Let's get a real game. We'll hire some referees. We'll get at the Citizens Business Bank Arena. We'll have the big scoreboard up there. I mean, we'll have a full-blown game. And we were super excited. We're like, man, we're going to really make it. We're doing really good. I mean, when you get to play on a big ice arena like that, I mean, it's like you feel like you've made it. You know, there wasn't anybody in the stands but our wives and our friends. There was like 25 people in an auditorium that seats 10,000. But, you know, you can just imagine like the roar of the crowd, and the referees have the striped shirts on. And so we were so excited to play. And we got creamed. I mean, like, I don't know what happened. Like, when we were practicing against them, it felt like it was relatively even, you know, and we were in the state of flow as a team. I mean, we were just, everybody knew their place, everybody knew their position, and we just thought we were on top of the world. And then all of a sudden, it's just like we could not come out of it. We just got creamed, and we were sitting on the bench, and everybody's mad at each other, and they're fighting with each other, and they're bickering at each other. You didn't do this, and you should have been there, and why weren't you? And it was amazing, because after that loss, and I mean, it was like a loss, I heard one person say it like this, it was a loss by football standards, you know, not by one or two points, but like multiple digits. It was a humiliating loss. They talk about in sports the agony of defeat, and truly our team suffered the agony of defeat, to the point where it was so bad that it was a catalyst moment for the team. And because of that defeat, it was like when it rained, it poured. And what was once a tight team, that was a team that flowed together, that hung out together after practices, that we spent time together outside of the rink, started bickering at each other, and they started to get little clicks here and there, and this person would kind of have his faithful, and he would talk about this person over there, and then this person would have their faithful, and they talk about their, and you could literally watch the team over the next couple of months disintegrate, all dating back to this season of loss, or this monumental loss. And I was looking back to that, and I thought, you know, there's a life lesson in that. Because not always do we play sports. Maybe you played sports, maybe you played baseball or football, or you ran track or something like that in school. Not all of us play sports, so not all of us understand the feeling of loss. But you know, loss is something beyond sports. To feel what it feels like to lose, not to lose your keys, but to lose, to actually not win at something. We feel that. We feel that every day sometimes in our relationships. We feel that in our businesses. Maybe you're at a time when everything was running and everything was flowing, everything was just going back and forth, and all of a sudden, it's like you can't even explain why, but everything started to go the opposite direction. It's like the finances that were coming in, the sales that were going on, stopped coming in. Or it was in that relationship and everything was going good. You were working it out. You were coming through that valley of the shadow of death that the Bible talks about. And it was like we're on the road to recovery. And for reasons that are inexplicable to you, all of a sudden everything was gone. Everything didn't make sense. And it was like this downhill, slippery slope. And we've gone through these seasons, we go through these seasons in life where we feel like we're just losing. And when you feel like you're losing, it begins to take the morale out of your life. It's hard to get up. It's hard to go to work when you feel like you're losing at your job. It's hard to love your wife when you feel like you're losing as a husband, or hard to love your husband when you feel like you're losing as a wife, or it's hard to be a great or a phenomenal parent when you feel like you're just absolutely losing in that place. And it becomes demoralizing. It becomes completely out of place. And I want to talk to you about the subject of losing tonight and upward and onward and outward in our lives, because I believe that the Bible is a great recollection of stories. It's really a record. You know, oftentimes the people say they have a hard time with the Bible because of some of the things that the Bible talks about, slavery and you know, elitism and these different things. But the thing is the Bible is this story. It's this culmination of humanity that records the great victories, but also the great losses. And the amazing thing that as I read the Bible, as I read the Word of God, I look at it and I say, it's amazing how there's this story of failure. There's a story of people who lost everything in a moment, or when everything was going exactly the way they hoped or they wanted it to go, they started to experience loss in that moment. And as I look about it today, I wanted to take you to a section of scripture that it's always kind of my go-to when I'm feeling it, or when I'm looking through it, or when I'm going through something. I kind of always go to the book of Romans. I don't know why, it's just I gravitate to Romans. The book of John is my favorite gospel, but the book of Romans is my favorite epistle. And in Romans, the 8th chapter, I was reading through that just a couple of weeks ago, and I was reading through it, and there's this amazing section of scripture in Romans, the 8th chapter. In verse number 28, I think that they're working through some stuff in the back room, but if they have that, Romans in the 8th chapter, Paul the Apostle says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. And what I find interesting and what I find fascinating and what I find so motivating and moving is the author who wrote this. See, who wrote this was a man by the name of Paul the Apostle. Romans is a middle book. Romans is kind of like, it wasn't his first book or his letter. It wasn't his last. It was kind of right there in the middle of all of his career as a minister. You could say it like that. And here's a man that writes these things. And some say that Romans is one of Paul's greatest works. And some say that within Romans, the 8th chapter is Paul's greatest chapter. In that chapter, Paul writes this, and we know. He says, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. If there's anybody in the Bible who knows what it's like to lose, who knows what it's like to experience failure, who knows what it's like to feel rejection, who knows what it's like to make bad decisions or wrong decisions, it's this man. You see, because before he was ever what we would say as an apostle or a leader of the church, Paul was a zealous Jewish rabbi who was bent on destroying the followers of Jesus and wiping them out. So he persecuted them. He dragged them out of their homes and he locked them up and he led them, many of them, to trials into which they would eventually have been killed. Paul was responsible for the death of people who loved and followed Jesus. Talk about a failure in life. Talk about looking back at a moment in life and saying, wow, that was a time in my life where I wish I could wipe that off the records of history and go back and do it again. And on top of that, now Paul serves God. Now he follows Jesus Christ. And you would think that now, in this great changeover of Paul's life, that everything would start going his way. That, you know, he's this great and famous Paul the Apostle. I mean, we look at him, we say, this is Paul. This is the guy who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And this guy knew a lot, but this is also the guy that before he wrote this scripture, he had already been stoned to death. Now, that doesn't mean what you might think it means. Stoning is not like he was like high, so high that he died. He didn't overdose. That's not what stoned to death means. It means that he had rocks thrown at him, stones thrown at him, until they thought he died. And then they left him out in the wilderness, and God brought him back up, raised him back up. He'd been lowered out of, he'd been smuggled out of cities at nighttime because people wanted to kill him. He had been beaten with rods. He had been jailed and locked up in prison and had been beaten while he was in prison. I mean, this is a man that you would think that, wow, what a great life he lived. This is a man who knew moment after moment after moment was like one closed door to the next closed door to the next closed door to one failure to the next, it seems. And yet, in spite of all of these things that Paul went through, all of these losses that one might think of, you might say, man, you are really losing right now at life. Paul writes this, that I know that all things, good and bad, wins in life and losses in life work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. And while we might feel like we lose sometimes, and I'm not saying lose as in like lose a friend or lose a loved one, but like lose at life. Like you showed up that day to the game of life and you got beat like that. We all feel that way. But the thing of the matter is what I find that Paul exhorts us to realize is that you might lose, but it does not mean you are lost. But what happens to you and I, and maybe it doesn't happen to you, but I'll just be open with you and tell you it happens to me, is when I lose, it feels like I just want to give up. I feel like I want to lose hope. Like, you know, if things aren't going my way, I remember in sports, if I was on a losing team, it was like, why show up to practice? We're going to lose anyways. If we're going to lose, we might as really lose. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, the whole idea, like, let's just quit before it's really bad. That's how I feel in life. And sometimes I look at how I raise my kids and I think, man, as a dad, I lost today. Maybe I lost my temper. Maybe I said things that I shouldn't have said. Maybe I jumped down my kid's throat when I didn't need to do that as a pastor. Maybe I gave somebody some really bad advice and they were walking away and I thought to myself, you really just lost at your like profession. You should do something else because that was really bad. And you got to call them back and be like, hey, so I gave you really bad advice. Don't listen to that. Like I went back and read my Bible and found out that... Maybe it was a decision I made financially. Man, this is such a great idea. I'm going to get into that and I'm going to invest all of that. And all it goes south. And I lost. And so it happens when it's the game of life, when it really matters. Because, you know, there's a difference when you're keeping score and when you're not. I was reading this book. They were talking about companies, and one of the things that they were saying is for companies to keep score with each other, to develop teamwork. And they said they did a study, and they had some people play a game of volleyball. And they had the game and said, we don't want anybody to keep score, just rally the ball, just have fun. So they played, and everybody was joking around, and everybody said, but then they said, okay, now next time they stopped it, and they said, okay, now we're going to keep score, and everybody who wins, everybody on the winning team is going to get $50. Do you know that the way that they played was a completely different way? Because when it matters, you want to win. And life matters. And so when you lose at life, when you lose that day, when you wake up and you look at the end of the day, or you look at the end of the week, or you look at the end of the season, you say, man, that was a monumental loss for me. It's hard to keep going. It's hard to motivate yourself to say, man, I feel like I should just give up. I feel like I should just quit. I feel like I've taken the wrong direction and now it's time for me to stop, turn around and do something else. And you know what's amazing is it even happens to us in our faith. When you feel like today I'm going to serve God, today I'm going to wake up and I'm going to love God, today I'm not going to listen to the voice of the enemy, today I'm not going to do that. And all of a sudden at the end of the day you realize I didn't even give God a single thought. I lost. Start thinking in your head, start thinking in your heart, man, why do I do this? Why do I play this game? Why is it an endless circle? Why don't I just stop and make my life easier? And I find Paul's exhortation so encouraging because sometimes you and I will lose, but it does not mean that we are lost. And sometimes, if anything else, sometimes we just need to sit back, take a big deep breath and realize, hey, it's okay. I didn't lose all the time. I might have lost today. I might have lost most of my life. You might look back and say, man, I lost my entire parenting season. I was a bad dad. I was a terrible mom. I shouldn't have moved here. I was an awful. You might say I was a complete loss. But can I tell you something? Just because you lose doesn't mean that you are lost. And what's so amazing is the next couple of scriptures, which I don't have on the screen, Paul begins to talk about this. He says, there's this, the love of God is inseparable to you. He says, there's nothing that can take you away from this love. He goes on and he says, height and depth cannot take you away from God. And I think that Paul, if you read Romans, the 7th chapter, Paul talks about this inner turmoil that he had. And so I don't think height and depth was physical height and physical depth, although it could be. I think it was emotional and mental height or depth. It wasn't the great moments of your life, the victories, and it wasn't the losses, height and depth. He says angels and principalities, darkness. None of these things can take you away from the love of God. And then he goes on and he says, and even though it seems like we are sheep that are led to the slaughter all day long. You know what that means? That you can translate that? It seems like we are losing all day long. Paul the Apostle says these words in the 8th chapter. In this 37th verse, he says it like this. Yet, in all these things, what these things? Heights, depths, loneliness, afflictions and trials, principalities of darkness, and even the fact that we lose all day long. Paul says, yet in all of that, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Which means for you, that you are a winner in Jesus. And I want you to grab a hold of this. You are a winner in Jesus. Not you will be a winner in Jesus. Can I tell you that? So often, this is my frustration with faith. And I say faith isn't like Christianity. It's just like, man, you know, as long as I can endure this, and I can make it to the end, I'm going to be good. Can I tell you something? You are a winner because you have Jesus. Not you will be a winner when you die and see Jesus. You already have what it takes today to be a winner. You're a winner. You know what? Somebody might have told you that you're a loser. You might have lost in life, but you are not a loser. Why? Because through Jesus Christ, you are today, in this moment, you might have failed as you walked into the building, but you are a winner because of Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus Christ. I read this fascinating story, and this was really what put my whole mind around this message. Is I read this fascinating story of a rugby coach. His name is Larry Gelwicks. They made a movie about him. Larry Gelwicks, he was the rugby coach of Highlands High School in Salt Lake City, Utah. Their record over 35 years was 419 wins and 10 losses. 419 wins and only 10 losses in 35 years. So somebody asked Coach Gelwicks, what do you guys do? What is the formula for success? Because, man, if we could take this and apply it to life, I mean, this is amazing. And he says this, he says, we always win. But as truthful as that statement is, because the statistics prove that, WIN was an acronym for them. What he taught his team is to focus on what's important now. See, so often in sport, you're looking at what's next week's game mean to the schedule. Or you're looking back at, man, how bad did I play? Or how bad did I run? Or how many times did I drop the ball? Or how many times did I fumble? Or whatever it might be in whatever sport it was. And he says, but we've taught our players that we don't look at what happened in the previous, and we don't look to what next week or the playoff or the final might be. We focus on what is important now. And I think that's kind of human nature. I was talking with a family member just a couple of days ago, and we were a family member, and don't think that that's a family member of the church. It was a family member far, far away. When we were talking, I just gathered this great sense of a lot of regret. A lot of regret of, man, I wish I would have never moved from this place, or, man, I wish I would have never left that job, or I wish we never would have got into this, and I wish we never would have done that. And you could just feel the pressure of the past and the regrets of the past. And I thought, isn't that human nature that we look at how many times we've lost in life, but we rarely focus on how many days we've won? How many times in fighting a fight, how many times in going through a struggle do we look at, man, you know, you'll never make it, you'll never do it because you lost today, but you won 3 days previous to that. And so the coach teaches his players to look at what's important now. You see, you don't have the past. You can't go back and rewrite that. You can't go back and try to win the loss that you already lost. It's already there. And you can't write tomorrow because you don't have it. But what you do have is right now. This moment in life to focus on and say, what is important in my life right here, right now? What can I focus on doing so that at the end of the day, I can say, I didn't lose today? And the amazing thing, here's what the amazing thing is that just kind of blew my mind, is he said, and I'm going to read this quote. Coach Gelwick says, there is a vast difference between losing and being beaten. Beaten is because they were just better than us, faster or stronger. But losing meant something else. It meant we lost focus or we didn't concentrate on what is essential. See, you might have lost something, but that doesn't mean you're a loser. You might have loss in your life, but it doesn't mean that you're completely lost. Because here's the deal. Losing means that we lost focus. We didn't put our effort where it needed to go. Being beaten sounded like my team that got beaten by the Ontario Fire Department. We were creamed, crushed, annihilated, embarrassed. Why? Because they were better than us. They were a tighter team. They had more skill. They were professionals. Some of them. We had no chance. This is why you're a winner. Because you see, the devil, he's not bigger than you. He's not stronger than you. He's not faster than you. He's not greater than you. He's not more expansive than you. That's why you already are a winner. When you have Jesus Christ, you have everything you need to win. Which means in life, you don't have to worry about going through life being soundly beaten by the devil and by the enemy. That's why Paul says in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Why? Because none of that stuff is bigger than me, is stronger than me, is faster than me. Why? Because I got Jesus. I got the creator of the universe. I got the King of Kings. I got the Lord of Lords. I got the one who conquered death. Nobody stood at the grave of Jesus and called him out. He just walked out on his own. He said to death, BRB, be right back.
Amen.
You have that. Because Paul says that the same power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead is alive today in your mortal bodies. Which means you might have walked in today feeling like you're a loser because you've lost. But just because you've lost does not mean you are a loser. Because you have Jesus Christ, you are a winner. You're a winner. So what do I do when I'm losing? It's easy and it's hard at the same time. Don't you love those ones where it's like so simple that it's like, yeah, and then it's so hard. It's like, ha ha. Going back to Coach, what's his name, Gillicks? Oh, Gelwicks, what a weird name. Larry Gelwicks, he said this, he said, I noticed, we would notice, that when we started losing a match, to think about how this just plays in life, just think about this for a moment. When we started losing a match, it was because we started playing the way they were playing. That we started trying to meet their strategy and combat it. And he said, the moment we started playing like the other team started playing, we were behind the curve and they were winning. The moment we started focusing on not how are they playing, how are we playing? What's important now? The game would begin to change. And isn't that exactly what we do? You start losing. You feel like things aren't going your way and you start grasping and grappling for tread or for grip or to hold on, to plug the stops, you know, of the leaks in your life. And so we start focusing on what's going over here, what's going over here. Maybe it's a spiritual attack or this cyclical sin that you're walking through and you say, man, the enemy's doing this and the enemy's doing that and the enemy's doing this and the enemy's doing that. And so all of a sudden we start living on the defense. Man, if I could just withhold today, and if I could just endure today, and if I could just withstand today, then tomorrow will be a better day. But then that puts us behind the curve. But when we start focusing, not on how is the enemy fighting me. No, I don't got to worry about that. That fight's already taken care of.
But when we focus, how am I doing it today? How am I responding to my kids when I'm mad? How am I responding to my wife when I'm frustrated or when things aren't going the way that we want to go? How am I responding when my finances are depleting and I can't figure out what's going on? How do I respond when my business is losing traction and I feel like everything in the walls are closing in on me? How do I play today in life? What's important now? What am I doing today? So that we don't live a defensive life. Listen, I just believe with all of my heart that our purpose in life to follow Jesus Christ is not to endure this life so that someday we get it into paradise. I just don't see that. I see Jesus who came to bring restoration to humanity, not so that when they died they could experience it, so that while they lived they could experience it. Because Jesus says, I've come that you would have life, that you would have abundant life, that you would have full life, that you would have good life, that you would have great life. And but if we're always living on the defense, trying to figure out how are they playing or how is the enemy coming at me, and if I could just block his attack. No, that's not what God wants for you. He doesn't want you to sit there and block his attack. He says, you are a winner. Jesus Christ already won the battle. The victory's already done and established. All you gotta do is keep your eyes focused on what's important now. What's important now? Jesus. Hope. Because when we lose in life, we lose hope. And I heard one person say it like this. Hope is point B in your journey. You're standing in point A and you want to get to point B. That's hope. How do you get there? You get in a car and you drive. What is that car called? Faith.
It's good. It's good, good.
But if you lose the destination, if you lose why you started out to do this in the first place, if 10 years or 10 weeks into your journey with Jesus, you forget because of losing in life why you made the decision to follow him, then there's no hope to keep going. But if we would just hold on to the why, the hope, the very fact that there is a destination. And it's not just eternity. Man, I'm excited for heaven. I can't wait for heaven. But can I tell you something? I got a lot of years unless Jesus returns tomorrow, I believe, until I get to that place. And I don't want to just sit on a porch, wait for that day to come. I want to live every life to the fullest. And I believe you do too. It doesn't matter if you've got 15 months left of your life or 15 years. Today is a day that we focus on what's important now. To not lose hope. And my encouragement to you today is that if you feel like you've been losing, if you feel like you're a loser and everything you're doing is going the wrong direction, to hold on to the hope you have in Jesus. Hold on to the hope that you have in Jesus, because if you lose sight of the hope, you lose sight of the destination, and you can go any which direction you want to go, and you might miss it by a mile. I was talking to a young man just the other day, a couple of weeks ago, you know, like we said the other day, and it's like 6 months ago. Yeah, it was like one of those things. And we were talking about faith, and he was saying, you know, he's talking about this, and he's walking on this journey, you know, trying to figure things out and work it out. And, you know, we were talking, and he says, well, what if it's like this? And I said, here's the deal. I said, I told him this kind of obscure story about, you know, if you're just 1 degree off on the journey to the moon, 1 degree off on your journey to the moon, you'll miss the moon so far that you'll never even see it when it flies by you. By just 1 degree. And I said, sometimes I think it's, life does that. It's not so far and it's not so huge that we realize we're on a wrong course, that it's just 1 degree off, just one little tiny detour off. And all of a sudden we look up and we don't realize where we're going any longer. And I think that's why when Coach, gosh, his name, Gelwicks, when Coach Gelwicks would tell his team, focus on what's important. You might feel tired, you might feel weary, you might feel like there's nothing left. Focus on what's important. I heard of one, that's why I think football. I know it's a real sports message. I've been reading this book about a sports figure, so maybe I'm all into sports today. You know what's cool about football? Football, they celebrate moving the ball 3 feet. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. We were talking to our staff. We were talking about culture, and we were talking about celebrating the win. Sometimes the win, sometimes the big celebration is, man, that's a 99 Hail Mary pass, and that guy catches it, and it's like, yeah. Sometimes the win is moving that ball inches to make a first down. That's what I love. I think it's a Christian game, man. That's like God's game. What's important is to move the ball of your life forward. You might only be able to move it forward 2 or 3 inches today. You might be able to move it 99 yards and score that point, whatever it might be. What's important? Moving the ball of your life forward. Hold on to the hope that you have in Jesus. Pastor Dan was just talking about this faith for the long haul, and you're seeing Hebrews, the 10th chapter. You know, now that we're done with Hebrews, we're all going to come back to all the messages that we had in Hebrews that we didn't get to preach because of the rotation. So you'll still get a lot of Hebrews, because now we're looking back, we're like, yo, man, I could have preached that when we were in the 4th chapter, but we moved on, so now it's going to come back. So there's going to be a lot of Hebrew scriptures, I was just telling you. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, it's a great statement, it's a great verse. And it says this, it says, hold fast to the confession of hope without wavering. For he, God, who promised is faithful. Hold fast, hold on, don't let go to the confession. Not the confession of faith, not to what the pastor told you, to point B in your life, hope. To the fact that God says, I got a plan for you. Plans to prosper and to not harm you. Plans to succeed in your life. I came that you would have life and have it abundantly. And you say, I don't feel that today because I'm losing. And here the author of Hebrews says, hold fast to that because it's coming your way. Because he who promised is faithful. You know what's so cool? Is of all the people that know what it's like to fail, God, in the form of Jesus Christ, knows exactly what it's like. Because by all counts, of course, now we look at Jesus, and he's the greatest figure that changed the face of the earth across the world. But this, hands down, you know, people will say the most influential people in the world, Jesus Christ, number one. Whether you believe in him or not, there he is. But you look at the moments that he was going through. There was a time in John the 6th chapter, we had thousands of people following him. And Jesus looked around, saw the big crowd, and said, man, it's my time to preach. So he starts preaching. He says some things that nobody likes. Guess what? Everybody leaves him except for his disciples. He turns to his disciples and says, y'all going to leave too? They were just like, hey, we don't have anywhere else to go. So we're with you. Jesus walks his own cross to his crucifixion site. And there, alone, dies. Talk about failure. Talk about a loss. When he's sitting on that cross and he's crying out, Psalms 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see that God himself, in the form of Jesus, know exactly what you and I deal with when we experience failure and loss in our lives. But like Paul said in Romans, the 8th chapter, that he takes all things, good and bad, and he works them for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. You see, that's why I think it's so cool. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, says that Jesus, it says, you know, talking about the run race, it says, you know, let aside all those weights and the sins, but it says, look to Jesus, who for the joy. What was that joy? You. You were the hope that Jesus was looking at. You were the point B that Jesus was looking at when he carried that cross and died. It says he despised shame, endured the cross, sat down at the right hand of the Father. You and I were that very thing. And today, if you're walking through life and you feel like, man, I'm losing in my marriage, I'm losing in my faith, I'm losing in my finances, I'm losing with my kids, I'm losing in my job, I'm losing with my health or my mental health, hold on to the hope that you have in Jesus. Why? Because you don't have to be beaten by the devil. Because you are not weaker or lesser. You are greater and stronger. But if you lose focus, if you forget why you're doing what you're doing, you and I can wake up and lose that day. But I love what Hebrews, the 6th chapter, and I'm going to finish with this. I'm going to put it in the New Living Translation because it's a complex verse, but it describes it a little bit simply here in the New Living Translation. In Hebrews, the 6th chapter, it says, God gave us a promise and an oath. These two things are unchangeable because it's impossible for God to lie. He says, therefore, we who have fled to Him, to God, for refuge, can find great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. The promise of God says, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. The word of Jesus Christ, as He tells His disciples, right in His last words, as He ascends to heaven, He says, I will be with you always until the ends of the age. That it is impossible for God to lie. That now when we go through life and we feel like we're getting beat, we realize we don't have to be beat. That we don't have to. We might lose, but that doesn't make us losers. And we might have experienced loss, but that doesn't mean that we are lost. Because we have Jesus. And because we have Jesus, we are winners. Look at yourself in the morning when you feel like you're beaten up and you're done. You've been run over by a bus, or like my dad used to say, the devil sat on your face. And tell yourself, I'm a winner. I'm a winner. Look, I don't know you or your story or what you're going through today, but God does. And if anything tonight He wants you to know as you walk out of this place, you're not a loser. You're a winner. You're a winner because of Jesus Christ. And I love what it says in the next verse. It says, this hope that we have is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain and into God's inner sanctuary. See, the hope that you have is that you don't have to go through your trials alone. The hope that you have is that you don't have to go through your hardships by yourself. Because at every moment and at every step, God is there walking alongside of you. The Holy Spirit is there leading and guiding you. And it may seem like it's completely contrary to the will of God and where you're at in this point in life. But I look back in my short stint in life, and I know that I have very little experience. But when I look back in times where I did not think God was there, I look back in hindsight, I say, wow, I didn't see it in the moment, and it was masked by my troubles. But when I look back, I say, He who is promised is faithful. He's never left me. He'll never leave me. He's never left you. He'll never leave you. You might lose, but it does not mean that you are lost. You might experience loss, but that does not mean you are a loser, because you are a winner in Jesus. Hold on to the hope you have in Jesus. The hope that you will make it through. And not just make it through, like Paul the Apostle says, you will make it through a winner, a victor. You'll get the crown of glory in your life, and you will be able to say at the end of your life, because you focused on what's important now, that as you look back, you'll say, man, I have fought my fight. I have run and finished my race. And now here I am in the glory of God. That hope in Jesus is a strong and trustworthy anchor. Don't let go of it. Don't forget it. You are a winner in Jesus' name. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for the saints that are here tonight. I know many of us, and myself included, are going through many different seasons, seasons of joy, seasons of hardship, Lord, seasons of triumph and seasons of loss. Lord, tonight I pray that as we looked at You, what Your word had for us and Your encouragement, Lord, I pray that tonight as we leave, as we go about our day tomorrow on Thursday and on Friday and go through the weekend and through the course of life, God, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would remind us of these words, would remind us of what we've been taught, that we are winners in Jesus. That when the devil tries to come and whisper in our ear, you're a loser. You're good for nothing. You're not going to amount to anything. You've already lost it all. You've already wasted it all. There's no point in going any further. That we would not listen to what or focus on what the tactics of the opposing team or the enemy is doing, but that we would focus on what we are doing today. living and walking in the hope through the faith of Jesus Christ that we would be victorious through Jesus. Lord, I pray for your encouragement on those who are feeling like they're losing today, that they would walk out of this place encouraged to know that they can hold their heads high because they are winners in Jesus Christ. And we all together said,
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.